My tongue speaks so they will know, giving voice to the legacy that has come before. Sojourner, Ida, Dorothy, Mary, Ella, Maya Angelou, others left out of history books, many refusing to, denying my humanity, but I stand and demand. From birthing of a civilization to nurturing a nation, we've been right here. I breast the comfort of men and suckling babies. How dare they not see me? Strength, genius, and beauty. I give voice to this beautiful struggle to shine and bring forth the light, staking claim to our birthright and inheritance of this earth, an overflow of compassion and justice. Using my voice to tell the children, telling the stories of black excellence, Africans, speaking truth to power, if only for 1 hour, they will stop and know that. My tongue speaks so they will know that. Ain't I a woman?
This is Voices of Advocacy Radio with your host, Lakeisha Gray Sewell, showcasing leading activists, community servants, and entrepreneurs. You are now tuned in to truth, community passion, and amplified legacy. Can you hear it? It's Voices of Advocacy Radio.
Once again, we want to thank you and welcome you to Voices of Advocacy Radio. We are so excited, so excited. Pleased to have with us this dynamic sister out of Detroit, Michigan. We love the city of Detroit. It is the Chicago sister city, so we always big up our sisters and family from Detroit. And I'm pleased myself even further to have another comrade, another warrior doing the work of lifting black girls. So I just want to welcome to Voice of Advocacy Radio and introduce to listeners Mrs. Berhinda Williams. And Berhinda Williams is a bilingual poet with more than 20 years dedicated to the craft. She has hosted and performed in numerous cultural events around the metro area, including Festival of the Arts, Dally in the Alley, the U.S. Social Forum, and Secret Society of Twisted Storytellers. She is the founder of The Power of Girlhood, a leadership institute for girls 11 through 13 around STEAM. And for those of you who don't know, STEAM is science, technology, engineering, arts, and math. It also is around entrepreneurship and fine and performing arts. Ms. Berhinda holds to tight to the pillars of culture, community, and connection. So we want to just welcome you. Just thank you for joining us.
Yay! Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I did want to, I know I just spoke about The Power of Girlhood, which you started in 2011, and the work that you all do. But on your website, it also says that it's a leadership development organization. You founded in 2011 to serve girls 13
yes.
to 18 in Metro Detroit. And you all focus on psychologically, socially, emotionally, and physically enhancing girls so that they can engage and be competent, thriving citizens throughout their communities. Sounds a lot like the work we do with Girls Like Me Project and so many other organizations. And I'm always thrilled and even reinvigorated when I find sisters doing this in other parts of the country, because that means we're getting this nation ready, right? We're building up the nation with our girls.
That's right.
So I just want to say thank you for doing that. And then just really want to just go ahead and hop into this dialogue with you about yourself and what even, prompted you to get involved with empowering girls.
Absolutely. Wow. So thank you so much for that wonderful introduction. And, my hat's off to you too as well for doing this work. And because so many girls need to be served, I don't think that there's a such thing as too many organizations, because what I provide or the way I connect may not necessarily be the way another group provides or connects, or that the girl will have a relationship. So there needs to be beacons in the community so girls can see what resonates most with them. And so in my work, I was originally a Spanish teacher. By trade, I was a Spanish teacher for high school, and I quickly saw that there was a need for the emotional, spiritual side of girls to be cultivated, developed in safe space for them to engage in. And so I took a leap of faith and stepped out of the classroom and into creating an organization.
Okay. And so from doing that work, from stepping out, what was it that you saw? What was the realization of the needs beyond, you know, what alarmed you the most with what was needed, what girls needed?
I think the sense of identity and purpose. And so it, for me, became increasingly difficult, or I became very aware that if you're not addressing people's basic needs, those social, emotional needs, it's hard to expect them to learn, to grow, and to thrive. And so when you can support an individual and they can begin to see themselves as valuable, and they can begin to see themselves as having worth and can make contributions, that pivot creates a sense of self-worth. And then the thirst becomes, let me increase my knowledge base. Let me take care of my body. Let me take care of my mind. Let me think about where I want to spend my time. Let me think about who I want to interact with, because you have a deep-rooted sense of self. And once you value that, you begin to move in the world a little different, and you begin to accept and express a certain type of treatment.
Absolutely. And so when we're talking about girls, especially girls 13 to 18, those, you know, they may not resonate exactly with those words when it's worded in that way, right? We know sometimes.
Absolutely. So we don't speak that way.
Right. No. So what is the approach that you take with girls? What do you find that they most respond to in you? You know, if I had in my heart that I wanted to work with girls, and I came to you and said, you know what, Ms. Berhinda, I know I want to work with girls, but I just don't know what or how, I don't know where. What would you say should be the first thing that people should do? And speak in the language that our girls speak, so that we're not speaking at them or, you know, around them.
Absolutely. So what I do is I have a tribunal of girls. And before I do any program, before I move on a concept, I ask them first, what do you need? And I think that sometimes as adults, we want to maybe project, or sometimes want to go back and live vicariously through our girls and address our younger selves. But they're astute enough to say what they need and what they want, and they're strong enough. Many of them, if you just give them the opportunity. So if you simply say, let me pull a group of girls, you can go to your block, you can go to any school, you can, wherever your place of worship, and pull together five or six girls. It doesn't have to be anything large, and I think sometimes we get caught up in imaging. Small is how change starts. Jesus had 12. MLK started out with a small number. So it's not so much the number all the time that is the impact. You create a strong six or seven. That strong six or seven goes out to, they go back to a home. They go back to a school. Mm-hmm. They go back to a community. And that's how impact is created. So I think first and foremost, if you want to work with girls, pull a small group together and just ask, what do you need? What are some of the issues that you're struggling with? And what do you think, or what are some of the suggestions you have to address this?
Absolutely. And so we know girls need, what their needs are, as you said, quite different than ours. You know, my very first guest on this podcast was Niambi Eccles, Jaha Eccles, and she is like the godmother of programming for girls. She wrote a book and started the Butterfly Project, which is now a national project. But her last book that she just wrote was Transforming the Lives of Our Girls, the Spirit of Our Girls. And it speaks to that very same thing, that so many of us are called to this work out of our own healing, right? Because we are trying to massage and, you know, heal the little girl in us who didn't have, who always wanted to, or who wished they could have, right?
Correct.
And in doing that, we don't honor the girls who are in front of us now. And we also are not able to fully give because we're so busy, as you use the word, projecting. And so with that, what I want to ask you is, as the founder of your own organization, the founder of Girls, the Power of Girlhood, what is it that you, as the founder of an organization and as an organization, what is it that you most need to be able to do your work?
You know what? Critical self-care. In order for me to do my work, I sometimes have to put it on pause, and I have to reconnect with Source, with Spirit, in order to continue on with the work. I have to attend to Brenda at 13, 16, because in doing this work, as you know, when you do this work, you're really just meeting yourself. And there are instances where we're doing a workshop or we're facilitating an aspect of our program, and then I get triggered. So I have to honor that, address that, and take some time out to breathe, to relax, to have fun, to be a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's the beauty in this work, is that you get to really examine yourself, be with yourself, and share that in a community and space with other women and with other girls. And I never tell a girl that I have everything figured out or I myself don't have a mentor. We share a mentor, Dr. Shahira Stevens out of Transforming Love Community. That's my mother. I still find myself having to go to other mothers in the community for wise counsel. So I think in doing the work, it's not about perfection, it's about authenticity.
Absolutely. And we know that being able to hold to that is easier when we have less stressors, right? Less stressors organizationally. And so I want to touch a little bit on, you're in Detroit, I'm in Chicago.
Yeah.
There are people who are in Baltimore, there are people who are in Compton, there are people all over, there are people who are in Mississippi, in Jackson, and Greenwood, and other places, right, Little Rock. But what we know is that when we do the work, many people who are, who look like us or who are in the areas that we are in the areas that we serve, the girls we serve, we don't always have first access to the resource, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Nationally. And I love what Novo Foundation has done recently, in that they've said that they're going to go directly to the community and work with those organizations who are on the ground. And people use on the ground in such a cliche way, but I'm speaking people who actually live and serve around within the communities that they serve. they
correct.
Are living, breathing, walking it daily. It's not, they're not commuting into it. They're not, they don't need to hold, you know, they don't need MapQuest to get to their places. They know it is where they're from, right? And so I'm glad that they are supporting this work that we do so often out of our own everything, right? Our own.
That's right.
Is and dollars. And so when you look at it from an organizational standpoint, what resources do you need to really push Power of Girlhood where you want to see it going?
Absolutely. So I'm so glad that you asked that. So the Power of Girlhood is a sponsored project through Allied Media. And the Allied Media Conference actually just put out a report to many of the things that you just spoke to about having foundations be a first to grassroots organization.
Mm-hmm.
And not always to the foundation. And there's nothing wrong with giving to foundations and org and nonprofits, but sometimes with the bureaucracy and the administrative aspects, it may not trickle down as fast or into places that it needs to be at, right, where it needs to truly be allocated. So they put together a report on working with foundations to have conversations with grassroots organizations about specifically what do you need and how can we source you or resource you in a more effective way to those who are more directly impacted by whatever the social issue may be. So that is a partnership that we have, and I think that this type of partnership is being modeled, is being studied, that in that we're doing the work, they help support the administrative side of it. So Allied Media Project is a 501c3 organization, and we're a sponsor project therein. And so people can go to our website and click on the link at thepowerofgirlhood.org, and they can do a one-time donation or they can become a sustainer, because we provide so many different programs throughout the year, one specifically being our annual event that happens every June, and another one that we do in tandem with the United Nations called the International Day of the Girl, where we bring girls in and they are delegates and they pick what the issues are in their communities and the methods in which they want to address those issues in their community, and we are just there to support them.
Wow, that's incredible. I don't know if you know this, but we are pretty much the only organization in Chicago. We were the very first one on the south side of Chicago to engage our girls in International Day of the Girl. When nobody was thinking about our girls, you know, a lot of the, you know, institutional organizations, obviously, you know, but community-wise, when you mentioned Day of the Girl, people were like, well, what is that? What is that? So we flipped it. We did Chicago Day of the Girl, and it has grown over the years. We just celebrated the fifth year last year, and this year we've partnered with Global Strategists Association to make it even bigger. So I want to talk to you more offline about how we can
absolutely
Detroit and Chicago girls.
We can do a thunderclap on Twitter where we can unite our girls with your girls and with the girls around the world, because as you know, it's happening simultaneously all over the world, and not many people celebrate it here either. We were the first organization to sort of take it on, but we never do anything in isolation. We partner with other organizations because, as you know, the load is very heavy, and so it's better to find your sister, your sister friends, and sister organization to join with you. And we even have men that support us. We have Men for Girlhood. And so we don't turn anyone away.
Oh, that is I'm so glad that you mentioned that. First of all, so here in Chicago, we have over 27 organizations that are of a coalition, the Southside Coalition on Urban Girls, I'm sorry. And so all of us, as you said, is never enough organizations because, you know, if you deal with sex trafficking, sexual harassment, I may be dealing with digital media literacy. Somebody else may deal with homelessness, runaway. Somebody else may be dealing with sexual violence. Somebody, you know, teen pregnancy, HIV, AIDS, and STD. So many different issues are impacting our girls we need to tackle every piece, part, every facet of their spirit as we try to lift them. So coalitions and collaboration are key. But I'm so glad you just touched on men and the importance. Because we are advocates and just powerfully connected to girls does not at all negate the fact that we absolutely need men. Like, this work cannot be done. Girls cannot be healed or whole without men, without seeing men, without men being present, without men depositing into them, without men creating safe spaces for them. So I'm so, so glad that you absolutely lifted that up. That's absolutely important. Absolutely. You also talked about, you know, the beauty that you find in your work. I consider it like the beautiful struggle, as Talib Kweli.
That's right.
Work. And so with that creative spin, I want you to talk a little bit about your craft and artistry as a poet and how you bring that work into the space of advocacy and girls' empowerment.
I don't know where I would be without poetry. I promise that is the lens that I use to just help me justify and explain my existence and process my emotions. And long before I heard or understood like what modalities are, I was using poetry because I needed my own catharsis. Like, I need to put myself someplace safe. And the safest place I could think of was a notebook. And so I was kind of sweet with words. So I just write. And sometimes I would go toe-to-toe in middle school with the boys at the table with the beats. I would cipher with the boys, you know, my bars. So the work of poetry, I think, is still very somewhat understated. But many girls will say that they write poetry, that they have notebooks, that they journal. And it's a safe space and wonderful healing tool and examination, because as we're going through something, the poetry sort of slows that moment down. It captures the moment. And when you're performing your poetry, it's almost like you're telling the audience a secret. And you're trusting that audience to honor your vulnerability and hold that secret for you. It's a secret that can be shared. And I know that kind of sounds like oxymoronic, but it's a secret that can be shared. So if you give girls the this tool for voice. Because when you become a poet or you're writing poetry and you're on the stage, that inherently gives you value because people have to, they have to listen. That's right. So it legitimizes your experience. And how many times do we go through life with our experience not being legitimized, not being honored, not being valued, not being viewed as a contributor or something we just need to get over? You can't get over being human because that's what
right.
we are.
Yep. So powerful. And it's crazy. Again, I don't know how Reverend Shahira knew it or what she saw to connect us, but it's crazy how much we absolutely have in common.
Yes.
I'm interested in creative writing in college. And the
wow.
only reason I didn't fully pursue it is because, you know, when they tell you, well, what kind of job are you going to get with this degree? So you start thinking, oh, okay, so I can't be a writer for a living, right? And I will never forget before I was completely distracted by life and beat down by, you know, taking down another path. I hosted poetry spoken word events down at this place called the Cotton Club in Chicago. It's since closed down.
Wow.
Yes, and
wow.
always have girls, a part of our program is always that they create a poem, whether it's a found poem or whether we do a poem out of their name, little stuff like that, you know. I believe, as you said, in the voice, right, what you just said about the validation you get when people have to, all of us just want to be heard.
That's right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that I'm just you know them mamas be knowing, so I'm so grateful that
yes, me too.
Reverend Shahira had the wisdom and the insight to know that we should be connected. So I want to ask you another question. And people always do this to me too when you're from Chicago. They think like, you know, do you know about, like, no, Chicago is a city of millions, so I don't know everything that's going on.
Right, don't know everything.
So, but I hope that you will be able to give a little light to something. Years ago, when I first really started contemplating starting my organization, I had come across this film called Grown in Detroit. And I was really, like, caught up in this story of the Ferguson Academy there. And really had been advocating and doing work here in Chicago and was even going to take a trip down that day they were trying to save it back in 2009. Unfortunately, it has been closed in 2014.
Yes.
But if you're familiar with that at all, can you just give us kind of what happens now? Where has the movement for AgriHood and for girls, teen mothers, what happened with those students who were there? What happened with the principal? What happened? Where are they now?
Unfortunately, I can't give you any details as to what has happened now, but I can speak to the hole that has been left in the community.
Mm-hmm.
I can speak to other organizations that are doing life work, like Blue Babies, which is a foundation outside of the Park West Gallery. It's an art gallery here in the metro area, and they work with boys and girls who have aged out of foster care. And so what they do is provide them with schooling, with scholarships, with shelter, with soft skill enrichment. And many of the girls are mothers.
Mm-hmm.
And so they provide haven for them. And then there's an organization called Vista Maria, an alternative for girls who are also doing very noble work. There's another sister by the name of Alice J, who is now towing the line for sex trafficking. She herself was sex trafficked from the age of 15 to 22. And she's out here every day pounding the pavement and working with organizations and also working with state legislatures to increase legislation and advocacy for those who are being sex trafficked. So the work is still continuing. And that, I mean, I believe Chicago is much like Detroit. Just because one door closes doesn't mean we stop doing the work. We will continue to do, whether we have a brick or mortar or not, we will continue to do the work.
That's right. I'm so glad,
you were able to just lift up all three of those initiatives and projects, because the more we are able to put things out there, the more people know about it. I truly do believe that there are ears and hearts ready to serve.
That's right.
Once they know. So I'm glad you were able to speak to those things. And I want to ask you to just once again let people know where they can go to find out more about you and your organization, how they can support, how they can stay connected.
Absolutely. They can go to thepowerofgirlhood.org. Right on the homepage, they can click a link to support our organization by making a financial contribution, or they can also make in-kind donations in the form of poster boards or magazines, because we do vision board parties with girls. We can always use notebooks. We never have too many notebooks or pens. They can help sponsor a girl with a T-shirt. We're moving into some summer programming, and I'll give you more details on that as they continue to flesh out. But we're doing a six-week summer leadership institute with mother daughters, because we feel that the mother figure, well, we can't transform girls if we're not transforming a household.
Absolutely.
So there has to be a collective, you know, there has to be a collective support and buy-in. And so that bond between mother figure, and it could be biological mother, it could be grandmother, it could be aunt, or if dad has sole custody. So we're really loose with the term mother, so that girls can get the things that they need. And then that there's a bonding experience, and there's an adult person that they trust that is loving on them. And they go through this process together.
Absolutely, because once again, same thing here. We just held our Raising Black Girl Magic last October, and it is because of Express Me that we spend this time depositing into girls and pouring into them, and they are transforming. But then there's this battle sometimes too, right? Because a lot of times the mothers have not done the healing work. The mothers are not getting the same support that their girls are getting. So if your organization, my organization, whoever organization, you're serving girls, the power that you have with that mother-daughter dynamic, if they're both shifting,
that's right,
it's beyond words. So once again, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for doing the work.
Thank you for having
a heart for it. Thank you for having the faith and the courage to do it, because I know every day is not easy. I know I know there are some challenges that, you know, that we don't see, you know, when you're behind the scenes. Even your girls don't see. They see the program, and they see the facilitation. They see the workshops. They see the beautiful layout when you do things, I'm sure. But the days and the questions and the agony that you have, I know just from my own experience.
Oh, yes.
How, right? How in the world? Yes, God, I said I would do this, but how? I know that struggle. So I just want to thank you. Thank you for standing in the gap. Thank you for devoting your life to this. I want to hear more of your poetry. Please share. I want to make sure, and I'm serious, that we follow up regarding Day of the Girl. And
yes.
We're going to have to do a trip to Detroit. We do vision boards. I want in exchange, our girls need to see themselves not only as global citizens internationally, but they need to know that girls in St. Louis, Detroit, Chicago, and wherever else you name it, y'all are the same girl doing the same things, and you can support one another.
That's right. That's right.
And we can be the start of that as adults. We can model that. So thank you for joining Voices of Advocacy Radio. And any last words you want to share, you get the last word.
Okay, well, thank you. So, again, please go to our website, thepowerofgirlhood.org. Please support our mission. We have a wonderful event coming up in June, and we definitely need support for that and into summer programming. But I am available to come out and speak and facilitate to organizations of all sizes on best practices and methods to reach our girls. And also I'm available to facilitate workshops for girls, because programming is one of the strengths in my wheelhouse, and I would be happy to come anywhere. And I'm bilingual, so yo puedo hablar en español también. So if you need it in two languages, I got it.
Gracias.
De nada.
Well, thank you so much, sis. More power to you. And
you as well.
Encourage people to go
to thepowerofgirlhood.org. Support that organization. Support the work of Sister Brenda Williams and the Girls of Detroit. Thank you for listening and tuning in to another edition of Voice of Advocacy Radio.